When you think of Christmas, is there a specific year or age that you remember? For me, it was when I was 9 years old, and I remember it clearly. Myself and my little sister were in the kids' choir at church, and so we showed up to sing that evening. We were dressed to the nines. It was great. Going back, we went to my dad's mom and dad's house for Christmas Eve. My grandma made Swedish meatballs like she did every year, even though we were Norwegian. I still can't explain that. But it was a full enough house to have a kid's table, and there was fun to be had and celebrations all night. Then the next morning, after Santa had arrived, we went to my mom's parents' house, and she had three siblings, and it was sort of the big, chaotic family that I dreamed of, because my family was small and quiet and simple, and we had so much fun. I can close my eyes and go back there tonight. I think we often can go back to perfect nights or perfect days where we think about all the fun that we had. Maybe you've got one of those too. But when I was an adult, I realized that that specific night wasn't that perfect. I'm pretty sure that night that my dad had gotten home late from work because he was trying to get one more thing done, even though we needed to be at the church on time to sing, and so there was an argument in the car on the way there. I think my sister was so nervous, she had spent the entire day complaining about how she did not want to sing. Some of you had kids in a Christmas program last week, and you understand the anxiety that shows up in that. And she said her stomach hurt. My mom was mad because someone, we won't say who tonight, but someone had opened their Christmas gifts to look at what was inside. It was me. And my grandmother, who was a notoriously uneven cook, that year made maybe the worst meatballs any of us had ever had. God bless her and God rest her as she stands with our Lord today, but everyone was suffering through them that evening. I tell you this story to tell you that the perfect Christmas is rare. It just is. And sometimes it really isn't reality. There's always something that goes on a Christmas Eve or on a Christmas day. But I think that's appropriate. I think that makes sense. I mean, you've read this story. More than likely, you've heard this story once or twice before. Jesus is going to be born to Mary and Joseph, and they're traveling the countryside, and they show up in Bethlehem, and what does it say? While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. I've always really tried hard to picture this. And then somebody was describing to me who had seen the space, what it was like, some of the places that were similar to the place that Jesus was born. And then I found a video, and I want to share this with you because as he turns it on, you can actually see what a place like Jesus had been born, go ahead and start it, would have looked like.
In the Middle East, small caves are a valuable asset. At first, if you did not have money to buy and build a home, you would live in a cave. Not the type of cave that goes miles underground, but a grotto on a hillside like you see here.
You could even create a wall over the front of it with a doorway. As you could afford, you would build a house in front of it, or beside or above it, depending on the terrain, and you would continue to use the cave. It would serve as the safe place to keep your animals or to house guests. A few years back, there was a wonderful discovery underneath Christmas Lutheran Church in Bethlehem. As they were jackhammering to run additional power lines, this cave was accidentally discovered beneath it. They quickly examined what they found there and learned that it was in use in the first century. Although the opening is covered up today to support the buildings above it, you can see where the original opening of the cave was. The family lived in the front part of the cave, and the animals lived in the back. In the front, they found parts of dishes and utensils used at the time of Jesus. In the back, they found evidence that that is where the animals lived. And in the wall next to where the animals lived, they found this manger, a simple niche in the wall. It is the perfect height and location to place the hay or a baby and have the mother recline beside her newborn.
It's not exactly what I pictured, but it's kind of amazing to see it. And we're not claiming this is the exact place that Jesus was born, but it fits the story. Inn is a poor translation of what it is. They were more than likely in the back part of what was going on out front. And I need you to know this. It makes the most sterile hospital rooms look really, really good compared to where a baby was born that night. You're looking at it and you're going, yes, wouldn't it be nice if Mary got to lay on these rocks next to these other rocks? I actually don't think that's true. I think that the idea of that night being perfect is really overwhelming. But I keep thinking about that space. Because the family who owns the place out front is just trying to get some sleep while there's a baby being born in the back. And then these shepherds show up, and we're not sure what to do with them. And then there's neighbors asking why there's a star beaming light down on the top of them in this particular moment. And everybody's trying to figure out what's going on. And then a hippopotamus that Gayla Peavy was singing about shows up. And no, it really doesn't. I'm just kidding. I'm not sure who all was there. But I know this. Nobody's night was going as planned. Nobody's night was going as planned. So if your night started with chaos, you're in good company. But there's something else. It's not just that they weren't planning on this. It's this. Nobody was sure if they belonged. Nobody knew if they belonged in that place. Mary was just a kid, barely getting her life started out with Joseph. Joseph had just dragged his newly betrothed across the countryside. And I would imagine that as he was saying, it'll be fine, and she's going, I think I'm going to have the baby, he's feeling pretty guilty at this point in the evening. Maybe just as a husband, I think I can think through that for a few moments. Their hosts, maybe they thought they should have cared for this young woman better than putting her in the back where the animals were instead of keeping her out front. The shepherds and the wise men showed up hearing some news. But was this news really for people who were a little bit on the outside of society or who were from far away nations? They all showed up to this manger looking at this baby and hearing a clear message. This child was sent by God. Something happens when people get close to God. They get nervous. They get worried about how they're going to be seen or how they're what's going to happen to them. It happens to Moses in the Old Testament. God speaks to him and he says, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. It happens to the prophets. It happened to the shepherds out in that field. They see a light and they are terrified and they have to be assured. This is a message of good news. And I can tell you from experience, while I'm not God, I play golf regularly. And usually it takes about four holes for somebody, a stranger, to ask me what I do for a living. And then they think through everything they've said for the last hour. When we start to feel like maybe there's a representative from where God is in our midst, we tend to get a little bit anxious. We do things that we wouldn't normally do because we all wonder this. Are we good enough to be in God's presence? Are we good enough to be in God's presence? Maybe that's what you're wondering tonight. But the message that we gather here to sing, and I'm going to invite Chris and Kara to come forward and sing in just a minute, but a guy named Michael Boggs took an old hymn, in fact, one we already sang tonight. And I love the words that he starts with. He says, come to faithful people. Oh, come all ye faithful. He talks about choirs of angels. He talks about happy ones celebrating. But those are not the only people who are welcomed on Christmas Eve. There are so many others, and maybe that's not you tonight. But I'd love it for the next moment if you just listen and see if you find yourself in the words that you hear right now.
Come, you unfaithful. Come all you unworthy, oh come you with nothing to offer him. Come you unrighteous. rejoice, he came for you. Rejoice, he came for you, Christ the Lord.
I wonder how many of you showed up tonight and all you brought was worry and anxiety, or all you brought was unrighteousness and pain, or all you brought was doubt or struggle or hurt, whatever it is. Maybe you worried, do I belong here, or do I even care about any of this? They're going to sing another verse in a minute that talks about when we try to become self-sufficient. But the truth is that everybody who shows up on Christmas Eve falls short. Everybody who shows up on Christmas Eve, it doesn't make sense for them. And everybody who shows up in a place like this, we admit to each other. In fact, most services, we start with a confession and forgiveness, because we need to know that we don't belong, except for the fact that in the presence of Jesus, everyone belongs. In the presence of Jesus, everyone has a place. Nobody doesn't belong. This is the actual message of Christmas. When they gather around that child, when they start to filter into the back of that cave, smelling what would become, how did he gently say it? The evidence that they kept the animals there in that moment. There was nothing they could do but marvel. You see, every bit of the work, everything that had needed to be done had already been done by God. Jesus had shown up in that place. And whenever we wonder if maybe God doesn't want to be near us, the message of Christmas is simple, that Jesus draws near to us. He shows up in a way that there's no distance between us, and there's nothing that we can do but realize that God had done the work. A God that says, unworthy, unrighteous, undeserving, unsure, this message is for you, that you belong. I wonder, back when I was 9, if anyone in my family really thought Christmas was ruined as all of those things fell apart. I sure didn't. Even in that mess, I knew that that was a place where I felt unconditionally loved, that we would care for each other to the ends of the earth, and maybe you feel that as you gather with people tonight. But as we pray and sing, I want you to know this to be true, that in the presence of Jesus, you are unconditionally loved. Do you want that just to be for tonight? Or to be the message of the rest of your life? The good news that we hang on to, the good news that we're reminded of, is that we can step into what God is doing. Because when we step closer to Jesus, every time, when we stay by his side, when we sit with that child, when we listen to how he loved the world and lean in the same way for others, we draw ourselves closer to Jesus. The message that he came to earth for you is meant to be a clear one, that no matter what, you belong to God, that you are loved. As Paul eventually writes it, neither height nor depth, nor angels nor demons, nor things above nor things below, nor anything else in all of creation can separate us from the love of Jesus, our Lord. And together God's people said, amen. We're gonna sing a little bit more. I'm gonna invite the band forward and I'm gonna pray. But as I pray, I invite all of you, You know what? They're going to stay seated because we're going to sing. You're going to sing. All right. So let's pray. Gracious God, I am so thankful that you tell us without a shadow of a doubt that we belong in your presence, that there's no fear or worry or stress. There's nothing that we do that makes us unworthy, and there's nothing that we can do to earn that love, but you show up. Your presence on earth that tells us that your love has arrived in this world. Help us to lean in and follow. Help us to go after you. Help this be the thing that binds us together tonight and tomorrow, but that would heal relationships and friendships, that would heal our hearts. And let this good news be the news that heals our world. For that good news, we give thanks. And together, God's people said, amen.